welcome to MacBite's headquarters. For marooned at MacBite's headquarters. What day is it, Mike?
54.
Oh, well done. Well done. How many, isn't that 7 weeks? Or is it more than that? I'm struggling now. Is it more than that? It's Friday.
7.5 weeks.
7.5. How can it be 7.5 weeks?
Because 49 to sevens is seven.
49 sevens seven. Is seven. Don't ask Mike to do maths, not without Excel. So what you mean is we don't have an anniversary till Monday.
No.
No, but Friday's the end of the week, technically, but it's a bank holiday, so now it feels like a Monday. I do wish they wouldn't play with our minds. Anyway, hello, Jonathan. Now we've ascertained it's a Friday, but that's as far as we can get. It feels like a Monday. I do have a feeling that it is a bank holiday and that it should be our holiday all week, but apparently not. CQ, Deb. Hello, Kim. Supposed to be 80. That's obscene. That's obscene. Although, having said that, it's far too warm here today. Not a cloud in the sky. We've got both windows open. We only had one open, didn't we? And then something happened. I heard a car door. Obviously, opportunity to rat the neighbours up until I got there. And it was Nina with dog food. Lola has 15 pounds of dog food just sat staring at her. Having said that, she's getting very picky with her treats, isn't she, Mike?
She is.
This is because Daddy hasn't brought enough up for the secret cupboard upstairs. So we've got these Purina sticks, the most expensive treats you can buy. She's turning her nose up at them. But we think she could possibly be a little madam. Because once nothing else was forthcoming, because she'd spat that one on the floor, once nothing else was forthcoming, she did pick it up and wander off with it. So I don't think it's poisonous or anything. I think it's just she's in a bit of a mood. She's probably warm. But then if we threw her in a paddling pool, she wouldn't be any happier, would she?
No.
Not if mayo was anything to go by. So, oh, Jonathan's got good news for us. Bad news for him. Not only did I not have a nap today, I went for an 11K walk. Right, just let me adjust the running order and I think we can call that 4-2 to me. We'll see how it goes. You never know, Jonathan. You never know. Do we have Zook's dog treats? Oh, let me have a look. I've not seen them, but you never know. So let's try Zook dog treat UK. Might get them at Costco. You never know, Mike. Let's have a look. What do they look like? Are they quite tiny? Oh, peanut butter and oats. You might like them, Mike. you can get them, apparently, from Amazon UK. Ouch. £10.41. How much is that for? Oh, it's for 1 6-ounce pouch. Oh, my. It's £10.41 plus £8.99 postage. So basically £20. Very tiny, use them for training. Oh, they're a good idea for training, yes. We did have some tiny treats. They came in a pot. What were they called? They could have been Zooks, you know. No, Barker and Barker. They're called Little Liver Training Treats. And they're ever so tiny. But we didn't buy them for Lola. We bought them for Ollie. And I bought them with a clicker. He'd never been trained. The only thing they'd managed to train him, well, I would say to do, but not to do, was go upstairs. He will not climb the stairs. He sits at the bottom and waits. He gets up to about step 3 with his paws and that's it. He will not come up the stairs. Lola's a typical Samoyed, just straight through. Brick wall, never mind, straight through. But we got these little training treats because I'd got this clicker. So I was clicking and treating and clicking and treating. By the time he went home, he knew sit and pause and down. And he was doing quite well. But, you know, we should be coming up in a couple of weeks to having Ollie for a week. But obviously no one can go on holiday, so we're not going to get to see Ollie. We'll have to do a FaceTime with him. It's the only way.
He's probably forgotten what we look like.
He wouldn't forget us. And not he certainly wouldn't forget Lola.
True.
The first picture I've got of Lola when she was fully grown was Ollie meeting her in the park. And oh, he was smitten. He'd need a stepladder, but he was smitten. And what are they like when they're here together?
Don't ask.
Yes, he's a little bit frantic when they're both here together. He won't leave her alone. I've got this picture, I must dig it out. The one of you in the extension. Mike's sat on a dining chair. Lola has jumped on top of him on the dining chair. And Ollie is on the floor looking up. And he's on his back legs. Won't tell you what he's doing to Mike's leg. It was Lola he was aiming for, though. Let's just say that. Oh, dear me. Hello, Paul. Cold in Ohio. Oh, I envy you. It's far too hot here. And a freeze warning over the night. Wow. I know America is huge, but honestly, you get like all five seasons in one day. Hello, Mrs. Simon. Oh, and Jonathan, before I forget, might be 5 minutes late. Oh, my. Viewing her figures this evening. Really? Ooh. Double zoomies. Oh, they're crazy together, Kim. Oh, they're absolutely crazy. At the time, last time we visited, it was October. So Lola had officially been ours for about 10 days and then Ollie landed. I don't know who was more shocked. Lola was sort of, this is my house now. And Ollie was like, who are you? This is where I come on holiday. But they are manic together. They so much so, when it's quiet time, we have to put them in two different rooms so they quieten down. Ollie is just a bundle of energy. He is like the Energizer Bunny. We have a saying in the UK, the Energizer Bunny. Basically, it's an advert that's on the TV for batteries. And it's a bunny, and they put these batteries in the bunny.
Find it.
Find the advert, Mike, the Energizer Bunny. And he is the Energizer Bunny. So when the two of them get out, we open the back door, let the two of them out. And of course, Lola wants whatever toys Ollie's brought with him. And then we buy her own. We bought her a fox, cost a flaming fortune from Pets at Home. Not touched it since. But the one that Rachel bought, obviously, Rachel's her sister, but that's not the point. She's ripped to shreds. She ripped the head off it months ago. And now it's just a rope in shreds. But that's her favourite.
She has played with the fox.
But she has picked the fox up lately, hasn't she?
She squeaks it.
Now she's discovered it. It squeaks. We're all right. We never did do the click training with Lola. She's pretty good to start with. That's the Energizer Bunny, the big pink one. Wasn't he? I remember that. I didn't realise it was that long ago. Wow, 1988. But it was a good advert. Oh, you're the same one. Oh, that's amazing. I thought that was a British thing. Ah, in that case, you will know what the Energizer Bunny is. And that's Ollie. He is the most amazing Energizer Bunny. There is no stopping him. He never tires out. He is always pleased to see you, immensely pleased to see you. So it doesn't matter who you are. You walk in and that's it. He just jumps on you. He just dogs you. He's crazy. He's a very loving dog, isn't he, Ollie?
He is.
He's tiny, though, so you can pick him up. Although you do try picking Lola up every now and then. And sometimes she even lets him, but she's not a pick-up
dog.
Then
she's all legs.
Then she's all legs because she's trying to escape. Oh, I've got practice with that, with Maya. So what's been going on today? What's been going on where you are? The UK's been crazy today because it's a celebration for VE Day, which is Victory in Europe Day, which we talked about, I think, last night. We have not seen anybody sat outside their house having a picnic. But there again, we do live on a more main road than most. But lots of our friends in the WhatsApp group that we're in, they've been sending us pictures of them outside their houses. So they've been having a ball, even if we haven't. But it's too hot to be outside anyway. You'll only get sunstroke, so why bother? Big news from Scotland about the lockdown. No change. Move along. Nothing to see. Because I don't know why. England seems to be the tail wagging the dog, doesn't it, to some degree. We hear from Scotland what's happening. And then we hear from Wales. You can have two walks a day, not one. Wow. So that's probably what Boris is going to announce on Sunday. But the press have been for 3 or 4 days asking every minister that does the daily press conference what Boris is going to say on Sunday, which seems like such a stupid question. Jonathan, did you see today's press conference? We were laughing at the, not the actual press conference. They had George Eustace, or Useless, as we call him. He didn't really have much to say, but it's the press questions afterwards that are hysterical. So Jonathan sees loads of people sitting outside having picnics. Do appear to be socially distancing. Yeah, I suppose so. Good evening, Tracy. Ah, right. In that case, Jonathan, did you hear yesterday's as well? The press are just twisted, but they've started taking questions from members of the public. So the first one today, because yesterday they took the press questions first. So if you saw it yesterday, Jonathan, it was comical. I always talk about this woman from the BBC. She is the most annoying journalist. She turns everything into a major drama. You know, and then he got a paper cut. And we have 20 minutes on the life-threatening issue of the paper cut. And for 2 years, 3 years, all we've heard from this woman is Brexit, Brexit, Brexit. Now, not a word about Brexit. Not a single peep about Brexit. It's all about the COVID thing. So last night, she's also very close to Boris, which can be have a double meaning in this country. So I'll clarify that. As far as I know,
John Major.
Well, can I just say, as far as I know, not in the biblical sense, but don't quote me on that because I don't know. Don't come for me. I don't know. But she's close in terms of she always gets the scoop from Boris. So she always gets first dibs on the questions. And I think that's wrong. I think it should be, you know, it's Laura Kunzberg. That's the one. She is. She drives me mad. But she always seems to get the first question. Even when it's the other guy, Hugh Pym, the BBC get the first question. And I think that should be a draw. You should have a lot for it. Anyway, she comes on. There she is with a little AirPods in. And she's rabbiting away. And I'm thinking, I can't hear her. I wonder if they can hear her. And she's still going. I'm thinking, it's the best piece from her I've ever heard. And then I'm thinking, are we doing this press conference by interpretive mime? Anyway, I'm thinking, when's somebody going to say that they can't hear her? And if they must have let a rabbit on for almost a minute before he says, Laura, we can't hear you. She'd forgotten to take herself off mute. What can I say? This is the caliber. That's before the questions get asked. Mind you, by the time she'd asked the question, I'd totally gone. So I've no idea what the question was. But today, we had the first questions were from the public. And one was a video question. They tend to do one that's a video that somebody sent in of themselves and one that's a written question. The written question, I think they struggled manfully with, but the video question, hello, Anthony, was just amazing. The guy comes on the video. He's a fairly youngish guy, maybe sort of 22, 25, something like that. Didn't look stupid, but the question was, with all this going on, what about Brexit? What are you going to do about Brexit? Are you going to put Brexit on hold? And that was the end of the question. And I'm just like, head desk. We left the European Union, which is what Brexit is, at the end of January. If you remember, it was a YTP night, a YouTube premiere on, I think it was YouTube premiere, wasn't it? Or was it? No, I think we did it on the Saturday.
The Queen gig.
No, I think we did it Saturday. One of the Queen gigs, I think we did. Mike, find out if the 31st of January was a YouTube premiere.
It was.
I think it was because we were chatting to you from the live Queen concert. And then as we left the Queen concert, we got back home and we were Brexiting at, was it 11 p.m? Because it was midnight their time.
Yeah.
And there's an hour's difference. And we were stood there and I had the news on and it came round to 11 o'clock, like Big Ben told. And it was like, that's the end of it. The UK leave Europe. Just literally just as Lola dashed out and whittled on the back garden. Like, well, that's what she thought of it. So this is just ridiculous. He put him right and said, well, actually, we've already left. But, you know, questions like that, because they must get to choose which questions they ask. That one must have been, come on, it's Friday, let's have a laugh. Yeah, that was another one. Not the biggest fan of the BBC, that's another story. The BBC just do, they don't cover themselves in glory a lot, do they, Jonathan? Let's just say that. Right. So Kim says she found it very disturbing that most of the COVID patients in New York City were people staying at home. Oh, that's not good. I wonder how on earth. We've had another 4,600 cases today, I think, which is still an amount that is alarming to me. Apparently, the government think everything's fine, but I think you should just listen to me because I still find that very scary. When you think that only the key workers are out there, that's a lot of infection in a day. They're saying it's because there's more tests, but more tests wouldn't necessarily... They're saying that they'll have more people in the figures who are positive. True, but it doesn't make a difference to the death rate. If you've had a test or not, you're not just going to not die because you've not had a test. I've not had a test, so I've not got it. Of course, so the only figure that will affect is the people with it, which is rising exponentially anyway. And I wouldn't say the deaths are dropping like a stone, not yet. But apparently, two walks from Monday. Right, let me get that link. I've just copied the Energizer Bunny one again. Or it sent me to the Energizer Bunny one. Let's have a look. Right. That is so scary. Been sheltering at home and avoiding mass transit. Very few were even travelling... We're even travelling on foot in their own cars on a daily basis. Oh, this is scary. I wonder, you know, whether it is spread some other way. Masks, hand washing, staying away from the most vulnerable. That is so scary. I wonder if a lot of the frontline workers have already had it and thus have some degree of immunity. We're convinced we had it, but it was between Christmas and New Year. Because we had the most horrific flu-like symptoms that never turned into a cold. All it was, it just stuck around your throat.
And a cough
that you couldn't stop. I didn't even want to go to bed because the second I lay down, I was just cough, cough, cough all night. It would take about an hour to fall asleep. And even then, I think it was just pure exhaustion that you fell asleep. Not good. Maybe somebody visited. Maybe it was, I mean, at the very beginning of this, the first couple of weeks, people were going crazy about petrol pumps. Obviously, that was the week before lockdown. And deliveries, you know, post, which is why we leave the post stacking up for a week. Oh, apart from the one I got the other day. Don't know if anybody else in the UK would have got one of these, but I did. Mike said, brown envelope. I said, it can wait with the rest. He said, it's customs and excise. I said, oh, right. Which is the tax service to anybody else. I said, right, bring it up, but delouse it. So I got into it with a pair of scissors. And do you know what it was? Invitation to send me tax return in. I thought, lovely. And the fact that like 25% of the year has been a bit of a write-off. Just saying. I do have until... I think it's the end of January next year to do that, which is usually when I do it. I must admit, I usually have a date with the taxman around the 24th or 25th of January. And that's when I do everything. So, yes, that managed to get here. But, you know, we're still washing the post. We're still all gloved up when deliveries arrive. But I guess it's easy for people 6-8 weeks on to think, oh, it's OK. You know, I'm safe. I'm in my own home. And maybe it's that. It's worrying. It's worrying.
You just reminded me.
Of what?
I need to add some stuff to the order.
Oh, what's that?
The Asda order tomorrow.
Yes, I know we've got an Asda order tomorrow, but what stuff? Oh, I lost the gloves. The gloves have gone out of stock.
Oh.
So keep those gloves that you've got.
Salad stuff.
Yes, we need salad stuff.
Yeah.
Fresh toys. Oh, and can you get me some better lettuce? You know the little gem things.
Yeah.
Of course, lettuce crisis again. Obviously, right? I'm gonna.
That was little gem.
I know, but there was like spinachy stuff with it, and there was no kale.
Do you want kale?
We decided against the kale. Got enough trouble without trying to eat kale as well.
There wasn't spinach with it.
There was some. Let me have a look at the little gem lettuce anyway. Maybe you're just not cutting it right.
Right.
Mind you, we've got a little project, haven't we? He's forgotten. Oh, dear Simon, what's going on? A baking mishap. Oh, no. Right, I can see what you're up to, Mike, so carry on. Look at that. Sold out, sold out, sold out. Why is your shopping total zero?
Because that's a new cart.
Oh, right.
What do you mean you can see what I'm up to?
I've tunnelled into your screen so I can see.
Oh.
Oh, a Frigilance. You do not need that.
What do you want to see?
I'm just watching the lettuce. Just looking at the lettuce, you know, as you do. Oh, peppers. Cool.
Right. We've got baby wipes.
Not because we've got a baby.
No.
Just make a lot of mess. Mushrooms. Tomatoes. Liking the mushrooms.
Fennel.
Oh, we're going to have some soup. That's why I don't like it this warm.
Cotton buds.
Gala apples.
That is not... I never put apples in there. I mistook those for tomatoes. I looked at the picture.
Mike is now shopping like a two-year-old using the pictures.
Right, well, they're going.
Oh, are we losing the apples?
Yeah.
Aren't we putting them with a salad?
Do you want apples? I'll get apples.
You got plum tomatoes in.
No, the big tomatoes.
Well, just use the plum tomatoes. We're getting the big tomatoes because they had no plum tomatoes.
Oh, okay.
Oh, dear. You just carry on chatting, guys, while I put Mike straight on the shopping. You got a story.
Jonathan's grandma gave him watercress soup.
Oh.
I had watercress
soup. Can't eat it when it's this hot. No, I must admit, I was going to say, I love soup, but I can't be doing with soup when it's this warm. And I really don't like it this warm when the coolest place in the house is the front room. But obviously that doesn't have my tech in it. So we've had to, we're in the office, which is also at the front of the house, but we've got to open the windows and it is actually quite warm. Hopefully you're not too disturbed with the traffic, which has been manic. I've got a video for you tonight in After Hours. You're going to love it. I was going to cut that video, Mike. Obviously, there was some taking the Lord's name in vain in it, Simon. Only worse.
Right, there's the little gem lettuce.
Right, that's fine.
You've okay. got two in there.
Yes, they look rather nice.
Right. Do you want strawberries?
Yes, why don't you put some strawberries right. in? Have we still got some yoghurt?
Yes.
Excellent. Right, so let me catch up over here. Poor Simon. All right, they need my money to help combating COVID. Yes, I suppose they do. I just wish they'd taken that 20% off Amazon instead of giving it to Amazon. The VAT on books. Jonathan, I've still got my eye on those book prices and they've still not coughed up. That book should be about £3.99, not £4.99, and I'm keeping my eye on this particular book. It's my yardstick for are they being naughty, and no, it's still £4.99. Disgusting. Absolutely disgusting. Mind you, at least it's £2 cheaper than the paperback, because that annoys me even more. When the paperback's like £8 and the Kindle version's £12.99, you're like, what? So yeah, not pleased with that. Not pleased.
Oh, there's a domestic going on here.
Oh, what's going on?
Mrs. Simon T and Simon T.
I notice it's Mrs. Simon's fridge. Shall I tell them what I did with your fridge once? We'd not long since met, had we? And we were cooking something.
Flapjack.
I think it was flapjack. So together we cooked the flapjack. And it was really nice, but obviously it was very hot. So when it came out, we put it in the
fridge.
No, we put it in a like a pie dish, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So it was really hot, piping hot in this pie dish. So we let it cool down a bit, and then we were trying to get it in the fridge. And you know the racks. We have glass racks. So it would have caused no problem at all on the glass racks. But Mike had these racks that were the metal kind covered in plastic. We didn't actually have much room to get them in there. So we put it on the very bottom bit, right, just above the salad cooler, which was fine until we tried to take it out and it had melded itself to the inside of the fridge. Never lived it down. You still had that when you moved in here, didn't you?
I did.
With this mark on it, this burn mark. So you must let him off, Mrs. Simon, because it could have been a whole lot worse. If this pie pot had been any hotter, it'd have probably melted into the engine. This is why, the engine, the motor, this is why I'm not allowed in the kitchen. Things work better if I'm not in the kitchen. Right.
Do you want kale and spinach?
Let me have a look. Let me have a look. Well, what have we got? Have we got cucumbers and stuff?
We've got cucumbers.
We've got everything, have we? Then I can probably live without kale.
Right.
Being honest.
Right.
So that'll be fine. Is there anything inordinately nice, though? Have we got any, like, Angel Delight or anything in the thimble pots?
There's three of them in the fridge. Do you want more?
What?
Angel Delight.
There's three of them in the fridge. Do I want more? These are the thimble pots we're talking about. One spoon each.
Yeah.
Put in Angel Delight and see what they've got.
Butterscotch pots. £5 for £2.
Oh, indeed. But you can't have more than three, can you? I'm liking this. You can. Ooh.
10.
Right, awesome. No, you can't have... Oh, right, so that's it.
Yeah.
In that case, stick in those.
You want 10.
I intend to enjoy these. Right, right, we can have £5 for £2, which might just get us a meal, mightn't it, Jonathan? It's an 85% hydration loaf. Simon, you needn't go any further. I should not be allowed near this. It would be a disaster. Right, let's have a look at it. I'm going for quite tricky. Mmm. You see, there you go, Mrs. Simon. It was difficult. What's cooking that got to do with dismantling the fridge, though? Just wondering. Oh, dear. Oh, dear.
Right. Anything else?
Not sure.
Right. Well, we've got till 10 o'clock.
Oh, Kim once forgot to eat dinner. Left the chicken in the oven for 3 hours and then broke the heating elements. And Simon had the Angel Delight last night. It was awesome. If it's £5 for £2, doesn't that mean you can have 15? I totally agree with that, Simon, but no, 10's the limit. But we'll put them in so we can have a reasonable amount of that. Did you put the rubber gloves in, Mike? What rubber gloves have they got? Now, Kim, the one about you forgetting to eat... happens to the best of us, doesn't it? Jonathan, can you remember when I forgot to eat?
I remember when you forgot to eat.
Jonathan would have been...
These ones here.
Right, just a minute, let me have a look. I am actually doing live shopping now. How many packs are in there? Is it just one pack pair of gloves?
Yeah.
Robbing swines!
How many do you want?
Oh, just stick two of those in.
Right.
Oh, and I did want some of these things, but the cheapest they've got at the bottom.
Things?
The scour things. No, up a bit. Up a bit. There, at the top.
Those?
No, up one. That one. Yeah. What are the cheapest of those they've got? Jonathan should remember this. Jonathan was only 20. He had no excuse for forgetting. Just the ones, fine.
Right.
Now, did I put it? I think I put it on my blog. It was a very, very, very important day for us. So important. Mike had booked the day off work. And it was a Friday. Right, let's stick it in. I've got a sneaking suspicion this is going to give me a load of results. And I want the oldest one of it. It was further back than that. Come on. These aren't in any kind of order. Oh, no. Oh, hang on. It'll be linked to from that one. Right, I think I've got it. There it is, 2010. Did I not put a link to it? Oh, for crying out loud. Oh, I did. Right, I wrote a post called 10 Years on a Mac. And part of my 10 Years on a Mac was iPad One Day, where iPad One appeared. And iPad One was a calamity from start to finish. Mike had booked the day off on the Friday. It was going to be fantastic. Johnny's internet died. Maybe Johnny didn't hear the question then. Oh, no. Sourdough rises and spills when it makes a slimy mess. That describes my cookery, Tracy. Perfectly. Right. So iPad 1. It was coming on a Friday. We had the delivery stuff. It was going to be fabulous. We waited till the Wednesday. And like I say, Mike had booked the day off. Now, must be understood, we shared a house with my mum and dad and Maya. And mum and dad went out on a Thursday. So Thursday, I am alone. When I get a notification that the iPads are out for delivery and Mike had taken the day off on Friday to be there for the great event. They both arrived while he was at work. But they weren't coming with the same supplier. So I had UPS. You must have had, which is the orange and the yellow and green one? Is it CityLink?
CityLink,
I think.
Yeah, I think it is.
So it was like, when are they going to come? When are they going to come? They're going to come together. Anyway, it arrived, one turned up, and it was mine. But I wasn't expecting it that early. I think it was about 9:30. And I wasn't really expecting it till after 10 o'clock because it cost more to have it delivered before 10 and Apple hadn't sent it that way. So mine arrives. I'm in the middle of cooking my breakfast. I totally forget about my breakfast. I gets the iPad, rips it up. I'm having a ball. And it wasn't until much later when I heard my dad's car pull up. I thought, oh, I'll go down and help them in with the shopping. Gets to the kitchen and finds the porridge I hadn't eaten. And there's a photo on this site, this blog post I'm going to post in now. Scroll down about halfway and there's a photo of said porridge. It had set like cement. I'm actually holding that bowl at 90 degrees. And I had been holding it at 90 degrees for some considerable time as I was taking the photo and it never moved. There was no way I was ever going to be able to eat that, I can assure you. Oh, my. Fabulous, fabulous memories. Sure you remember that one, Mike.
I do.
Yeah, Mike got home that night, and you know, like as if the day couldn't get any worse. Mike got home that night to find his iPad, and he opened it, and it was great. And he had a dead pixel, and that was a whole different story.
Did I have a dead pixel on that one?
iPad 1?
Yeah.
Yes, that was my magically multiplying iPads. The next day, we decided we would go into Manchester to the Arndale. You saw pictures of the Arndale on After Hours a few weeks back. Massive shopping centre. Why the Arndale instead of the Trafford Centre? Had I had a set to with Team Trafford?
Probably.
Anyway, we went into the Arndale Centre in Manchester and Mike wanted to take back this iPad and get it swapped. Dead pixel. They told him they couldn't exchange it because we'd ordered it mail order, which is one of Apple's rules. So we were like, this is ridiculous. You can't be doing that. And yes, there's somebody with a new toy to play with, isn't it? Obviously can't afford an exhaust for that bike. Anyway, they said the only thing that you could do is return it and buy another one from us. So we pondered it and worked out the date on the credit card. And that's, we said, that's what we'll do. So we bought an iPad from them. So picture the scene. We had my iPad, which was fine. We had Mike's first iPad, not fine. And then we bought another iPad. So we had three iPads. We headed off to, looks like a coffee bar of some description. It's not far from the Apple store, but they are, I think the Arndale's changed quite a bit since then. So there we are with a table full of iPads, literally. Mike opens it and only finds that one's got a dead pixel. We also had, is that your laptop or my laptop? Your laptop. Mine was older than that. So we then headed back into the Apple store. By this stage, we had my iPad, Mike's spare iPad, Mike's laptop and my MiFi. Heads back in, explains he's got a dead pixel. We ended up going through three iPads. So that day we had five iPads between us while we were trying to sort out this dead pixel. It was a day never to be forgotten. There is never a dull moment if you are heading out with us. Let's just say that. And Jonathan's found a passion fruit and gin, real gin, ice popsicle. Wow. Where did that come from, Jonathan? Have you been stockpiling? So have you sorted that order? Are you thinking about it?
No, I've sorted it.
Right, okay. So unless I think of anything else before 10 o'clock tonight.
Yeah.
I might do just that between marooned and after hours. So who's seen the mail and knows what's in after hours? Mike's got a heck of a demo, haven't you, dear?
Yeah.
Not being sarcastic. No. Don't look at me like that.
I will have when it's finished.
Oh, how do you do them every year? There's one from last year. Wow. No, I did not know that. I did hear a feel-good story about Aldi. Aldi have bought up 200,000 consignments of flowers. And they bought them from UK suppliers who would just have to bin them. So they're rolling them out in their stores. But that's why they've done it. And I think that's sweet. My mum had a big thing about Aldi when they very first opened. She soon came round when she went in, mind you. She didn't like the fact that they were anti-poppy. When we have our poppy day in November and for Remembrance Day, they wouldn't let the Royal British Legion sell poppies. She was not pleased. They backed down in the end, and then she deigned to go in there, and she absolutely loved it. But I think it's nice that they're supporting UK, because they're not a UK company, are they? They're a German company. But it's nice that they're supporting UK businesses that's got problems at the moment. There was also another lovely story today, apart from people doing all kinds of things with lockdown. There's a mini Major Tom. Captain Tom. Mini Captain Tom. Did you see her? Oh, it was so sweet.
I think I saw
her. I'll put it in. It is so sweet. Inspired by Captain Tom. Oh, it's a lad. What's his name? Frank. That's a cool name, Frank. So he was inspired by Captain Tom, and he wanted to raise £99 because Captain Tom at the time was 99. But in the end, he raised a lot more than that. He's raised 280,000. But look at him, the poor lad. That wonderful. Well, all we seem to be faced with is people moaning about when can they go out and have a picnic? When can they go out to a beer garden?
Plenty of people sat outside today.
I know, but even that's not enough for them. They then want to be able to do something else. Whereas, you know, that poor kid, like, yeah, let's do this. And off he goes. And I've never heard of this thing, the Prime Minister's Daily Point of Light, either. But Boris said he was brilliant, as brave and as brilliant as Captain Tom. Which is cool. At least he got a mention. That is so tough to have to do that. Look at his poor legs. Very well done. Very well done, Frank. I think that's lovely. As opposed to the other story of the day. You'll remember this one. We told you the story about a footballer from Manchester City who had decided to euphemistically have a party. And invite two ladies, still air quotes, ladies of the night, to spend the night with him. We don't believe social distancing was involved, but anyway, he got reprimanded, didn't he? Didn't City fine him or something?
Something like that.
Then the Everton fella did the same, but that was the City guy. Anyway, the City guy, this footballer, is now saying that he is being victimised because people are following him and he's so far broken curfew about 15 times in the last week. He went to visit his mum and dad for one of their birthdays and hugged them. Is that the right link? Should be. Let's click on that link. I'm not getting the right link. Let's click on that one. There it is. What was it? What did he do? It was his mum and dad and I think it was another family member.
His sister, I think.
It's just, I mean, there are no words. There are no words. And at the bottom, it's got footballers who've breached lockdown guidelines, and there's a list of them. But to say he feels being harassed was his phrase. We are being harassed. Totally agree with you, Jonathan. He is a role model. And when you think that they're being paid for not doing their job in the midst of all this, when other people have been laid off, when they're earning a fraction of that money, the least you can do, stay home. Yeah, it was three things, wasn't it? He went to see his sister on Wednesday to give her a birthday present and he hugged her. I mean, COVID would be the least of your problems with him, but that's another story. Then he said he'd travelled to his parents' house to pick up some home-cooked meals. There are no words. There just aren't. So he's already facing disciplinary action. For the incident. It says there he has responsibility as a role model, so it actually says that in the piece, but you know. On Thursday, the Sun reported that he broke lockdown three times in 24 hours. Visit to his sister, his parents, and a cycle ride with a friend. It's clearly too complicated for him. Clearly too complicated. But what can you do with them? I think he should be sacked. If he didn't have a job, then he wouldn't be in the news, would he? So true. We could get rid of him that way. See, I suffer fools. Not at all, me. Not at all. So what's going on in the States? How's the lockdown being lifted or not? Here we've got to wake. Exactly, Kim. I think there is a limit on what a club can fine a player, isn't it? 2 weeks' wages.
No idea.
Have a check. I think it's 2 weeks' wages. But if it was 2 weeks' wages, you know, they could give that kid, what? What's he on a week? A couple of hundred thousand?
Probably
about £400,000 for 2 weeks not working. But I think the guidelines for a fine are 2 weeks' wages. I'm not sure if you can, on odd occasions, depending on what it is, go to three. So what does it say there? I think that's the penalty point guideline, isn't it? That's not the club fining. Because it's a certain number of weeks' wages, I know that much. I just can't remember if it was two or three. Because, you know, 30,000 is not even going to feel it. It's not often I agree with Ricky Gervais, I'll be honest. Never did understand The Office. Mike sat me down to watch it once and I was like, Is this funny? But that's just me. I'm sure everybody else finds it a complete hoot. Maybe it's working from home that does it.
Yeah, but you didn't get the young ones either.
I didn't get the young ones, no. Yes, but I did get Yes, Prime Minister. That was fabulous. You'll be pleased to know I've got all my Yes, Prime Ministers on my hard drive now after a major ripping session. The only problem is I've got more episodes than there were, so I'm going to have to go through them and work out which one's which. Luckily, they all have a title and it was at the very beginning. So I'm definitely going to go back and look at that. They're opening parks this weekend in Washington. So we'll see what happens. I'd be really worried. I said to Mike, you know, the more I see people out there, the less I'm inclined to go out. There was something I put on Facebook weeks ago and it said introverts are going to need a couple of weeks on lockdown to get used to the extroverts going outside and partying. And that's pretty much where I'm at. There isn't going to, this is just going to kind of go over time, unless, of course, there's a vaccine. But if what Kim's saying is right, and it's people that haven't been out that are making up the majority of the cases, you're safe nowhere. You're safe nowhere. That's why I was not sitting outside doing the, we're having a VE Day celebration. Not this year. Hope his sponsorship deals fall apart. I wouldn't imagine any brand wanting to be associated with him. I mean, after the first incident, never mind the second. The first one, brand-wise, was probably worse. The second one, you could kind of get away with easier than the first. But honestly, so it's partially lifted in Ohio. Ohio was the one that we had all those videos from of people complaining that their civil rights were being abused, which I must admit, didn't quite understand, but I thought we were all in this together, but clearly some people feel not. Are you going out, Paul, or are you staying in? The one that I heard about, and I must admit I didn't quite understand all that, the idle rich with 3,000 houses have seemed to have picked one and gone to it and then stayed there, and Gordon Ramsay picked the one down Devon way. But it is his house, he does own it. So I can't understand why the locals, half the locals really support him, and the other half keeps sending him snottergrams, really nasty letters. I tell you what, there was another one talking of nasty letters.
That's the dog.
I can hear the dog.
So I'll go and deal with it.
If she wants to be let out. Right, let's have a look and see if I can find it. There you go. Just imagine as you're reading this story, and I'm sorry it's the mirror, it's the only place I can find it, right? But there's a family and they've put up two flags, a Union Jack, which is the flag of our country. Well, it's a flag. It's not the English flag. The English flag is the flag of St. George. The Union Jack is the flag of the United Kingdom. So England, Scotland, Wales and Northern Ireland. So they've put up that and they've put up one that looks like a Remembrance Day flag on their house. And I don't think it looks that bad. There's a photograph of it. Just say no to all the pop-ups that come up. But they got a letter from some residents nearby to them. So scroll down this until you get to the letter. And just give that letter a read. It's criminal. Just imagine in America, where I see a lot of Stars and Stripes, you got that for putting one up on your house. It's diabolical. Made me want to go out and get a Union Jack, to be honest. So Paul's going to be staying in, just going out for food and groceries. As you well know, we are not even doing that. We've turned it into, we've gamified grocery time. So we will, at some point, it could be tonight, it could be tomorrow, do the dance at midnight, trying to get a slot. I don't think we need to do it tonight, because Mike's got a slot tomorrow. So he's put all the healthy stuff in. That letter is just absolutely disgusting. They've only put them up for VE Day, which is now virtually over, so it'll be gone. But to get a letter like that, you would feel dirty. That's awful. Wouldn't mind if it was football or something, if it was the World Cup or the Euro Championships, which have got moved to next year. But literally, you know, it's VE Day. These people who write these letters never put their names up. No, they don't. They don't, Anthony. You're right. I remember a good few months back now, the priest was saying that he'd got this anonymous letter and I said, pardon? He said, oh, I got an anonymous letter. And obviously it was critical of what he'd done. And I said, but can we just get back to the fact it's anonymous? He said, that happens all the time. I said, you're kidding me? He said, no. I said, but he's got to be a parishioner. He said, I know. And I'm like, but he took that as like, no, that happens a lot. I couldn't believe it. Who in the right minds in a community would write a snottogram to the priest? Probably sent it to the bishop as well. Absolutely disgusting. Don't they fly the Union Jack at the Olympics? I believe they do, because we are Team GB. It's very complicated over here. We have England, Scotland, Northern Ireland and Wales. Together, that's the United Kingdom. Even though Ireland, as I'm sure you're aware, is attached to the Republic of Ireland. So we don't have a land border with Ireland. But GB is, let me think. GB is Scotland, England and Wales. I think that's the difference. It doesn't include Northern Ireland. It's Great Britain and Northern Ireland. It's just historic. So, you reckon he wrote it himself to get in the paper? Well, I guess he could have done. So why would it be offensive to them? Kim, it's difficult to explain. It's the Union Jack has been over the years, probably from the mid-70s onwards, been kind of hijacked by sports fans. And if they had a good reputation, that would be fine, but they don't. So they take the Union Jack and they maraud across Europe, causing grief and havoc. And the Union Jack then becomes associated with either racism or hooliganism. So if you put a Union Jack up, if you had it up on a flagpole, and I do know round here we have at least two people who do that, you would be viewed as strange. It's just the way it is. We all know it shouldn't be like that, but people have had notices from the council to take them down. But I agree with you. The flag of your country should not be offensive. But good point, Jonathan. Yes, Union Jack's been hijacked with very right-wing views as well. So unfortunately, it's a bit of an issue. What people have tried to do, I think, in relation to that, is use the flag of St. George instead. So we tend to put that out maybe St. George's Day I don't think I'd use a Union Jack. If it was football, I'd use the flag of St George. Because what's the point of putting a Union Jack out if Scotland are in it as well? Because they play under their own flag. So it gets complicated here. Yeah, that sums it up, Jonathan. That's very eloquent. Some take the view that if you display the Union Jack, it means no one else is welcome. It isn't like that. So is it offensive to fly the flag of St George? Well, not as offensive, no, Kim. Because although the flag of St George, it can be associated with extreme right wing, it's usually the Union Jack that they use for that. So not as much, no. And it would only be offensive to, and I hate to use this word, but you'll know what I mean if you're in Britain, a snowflake. Somebody who is, do you use that phrase in the States, a snowflake? It basically been used for about the last 2-3 years, and it means somebody who is very, very, what's the word, Mike? Sensitive about their opinions. That I'll give you an example. There was a lady that was interviewed on one of the morning TV programmes, and she got accused of casual racism. And I thought, I'm going to have to read this because I don't know what that is. And she was basically making a point that there were a lot of single Indian men on this boat that she is marooned on during the lockdown. And she feels incredibly uncomfortable that when she goes out, these men are ogling her. But she used the phrase Indian men. And apparently that's racist. And I'm like, well, can you not say men either? Because that might be sexist. But the people who were commenting, saying this is disgusting, that's casual racism. Other people said, for crying out loud, she's got to explain how she feels and use words so you understand what she's talking about. That's not racism. You're a snowflake. So it means hypersensitive, being a snowflake. And if you put a flag of St George up, there would be some people who felt that it was inappropriate. I would say they were snowflakes. Because at the same time, and Kim, you probably won't believe this, but at the same time as stories about that are kicking off in our mainstream media, we're also being told that, and it's particularly in London and particularly in tower blocks, it's okay to fly the ISIS flag because it's their freedom of speech. I'm not even making this up. That's true. That's true. So you can fly the Pakistani flag, no problem at all. The ISIS flag, no problem at all. It's your right to freedom of speech. But if you put up a Union Jack or the flag of St George, you may get a letter from the council saying you are not inclusive enough. It's ridiculous. Oh, you do have snowflakes in the States. Excellent, excellent. I didn't know if that was just a UK thing, because our papers are just crazy. And you have seven genders as well. I think we do.
What's the other one?
Which other one?
Opposite of snowflake.
A bacon. In the UK, it's a bacon, isn't it? A gammon.
Gammon.
Gammon. Do you have gammon in the States? And I don't mean the food. Do you have a derogatory term called a gammon? A gammon is like the opposite of a snowflake. The reason it's called gammon is it tends to be men between sort of 40 and 60. They tend to be overweight and they tend to be very red in the face. So the red is the gammon part of it.
Sounds like me.
Don't be ridiculous.
Well, 2 out of 3 ain't bad.
No, Kim doesn't know what a gammon is. That's you haven't heard of gammon? Wow, that must be a UK thing then. That's the nearest I can get to it for you.
Gammon joint.
No, don't
there
put joints
go.
In.
Gammon
no,
it's
gammon
on
insult.
Wikipedia.
It's on Wikipedia. I'll put the link into Wikipedia.
A pejorative popularised in British political culture since around 2012.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. In 2018, it became particularly known as a term to describe middle-aged white men, either on the political right or who supported Brexit.
Yeah.
Term refers in particular to a colour of a person's flushed face, especially when expressing their strong opinions as compared to the type of pork of the same name. There's been considerable debate over whether the term is racist.
That's tricky if you think
about pigs.
It. Racist to pigs. Mike, stop digging. Stop digging.
Well, I guess to Jews and Asians, Muslims.
I'm loving that. Anthony says, I've never heard of that either. And Simon says, fabulous, a new insult. It's mainly come from the papers, to be honest. They wanted an opposite to snowflake, and that is ultimately what that is, I would say.
Charles Dickens used it in Nicholas Nickleby in 1838.
Did he?
Yeah.
Wow.
According to Wikipedia.
Don't remember that one. I only noticed it coming in into the fore after the Brexit vote, for people who were the Remainers who were exasperated at people who wanted to leave. So it became an insult that was slung at them, particularly after 2016. But yeah, that's all over the papers all the time. All the time.
Snowflake, Urban Dictionary.
Leave the Urban Dictionary alone, Mike. I went there once to look up something.
I know.
Never recovered.
Snowflake is a 2010s derogatory slang for a person, implying they have an inflated sense of uniqueness, unwarranted sense of entitlement, overly emotional, easily offended, and unable to deal with opposing opinions.
What kind of pork is a gammon? Oh, right. Let's have a look. I've always thought of gammon as thick bacon.
It's hind leg of pork.
Hind leg of a pig. It's like bacon, but thicker. It is actually quite nice. There's how to cook gammon steaks. Nice. Well, there you go. That's got a fabulous picture at the top of it. It is closer to bacon than ham. You can get gammon where they've cooked an entire joint. That's gammon steaks, the one I've put through. If you cook an entire gammon joint and then you can kind of slice off it, that's actually really nice.
Asshat is a vulgar slang term for stupid, obnoxious or contemptible person. Used much like the word asshole.
Oh, isn't it educational? Marooned at Mike's headquarters. Yeah, Jonathan, I don't think we can get kosher gammon, can we? Just asking. No, I don't think gammon's kosher. In fact, I'm pretty confident it's not. How much would the Beth Din need to render it kosher? Mind you, you know, if it's that or starve, you're allowed to eat it. So all you need to do if you want to try it is get yourself in a position where death's the only alternative. No, I don't think you could have kosher gammon, could you? Mind you, there's always corn. I mean, that's not even meat.
True.
So you could have corn gammon.
True.
They'll be growing it in a lab next, I'm telling you. Absolutely. Oh, well, that's been educational, hasn't it? Now we all know a lot more than we knew before. Oh, indeed. Well, we're going to head off because you're still prepping, aren't you?
Yeah.
You had slides to make. I did give you all the mails, though, so I think I'm up to date, which is amazing. I've got more slides to put together. Always have slides to put together. So we'll be back with you at 9 o'clock. So Jonathan's going to be 5 minutes late. Might make that 10, Jonathan, if you're going to see the Beth Din about the gammon. In fact, if you're going to ask the Beth Din about gammon, you better take the whole 10 minutes.
Well, we can just yak for the first 5 minutes.
Oh, dear.
We wouldn't like it to miss.
Well, oh, Tracy's quite like that now. You can't get it. Oh, wow. Why? Is that just not a Spanish thing at all? Good grief. Enjoy your walk, Kiva. Don't tell Lola. She'll want another one.
She's been for two.
I know she's been for two. She's also been round the garden 27 times, up and down the stairs and everything else, and she still wants to go out more. She's obviously not getting out enough. Anyway, as it heads to the top of the hour, we are going to say goodbye for now, but we will be back with you later. So for the moment, it is good night from me.
And it's good night from me.
And we'll both see you very soon at 9 o'clock.